You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We're working on getting, apparently, I'm telling Walker, we called him and went straight to voicemail.
He's got
to
be local. He's not West Coast, right?
No, he's here.
Okay.
He's at with his parents. I'll call him again, Del.
Maybe he had Cinco de Mayo.
I got a number for you, Del. I'll send it to you. Okay. I'll send it to you. Anyway, here's Del and Lance. They're bing, bing, bing. And Don, look at me, technologically advanced.
Forwarding a phone number.
Yeah.
Look at you.
That's right. Look
Technology
at me.
Is your friend, John.
Did I do it or didn't I?
It's like Star Wars. You did. Hey, did you guys happen to see this Charles Oakley is in a feud with anybody who played with the Knicks ever, basically?
Well, how about he said it's all Patrick Ewing's fault?
Oh, my God. He just killed Patrick Ewing. I mean, just killed Patrick Ewing. Yeah. So that was pretty rough. And then also, and this is one we'll probably talk about after we get a hold of Walker, but Charles Barkley said he doesn't see his rift with Michael Jordan ending anytime soon. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. Joining us right now is Stanford tackle and local high school football product, Walker Little. He joins us right now on the bench. Walker, how you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing good. So, John, I'm the one who writes the draft profiles for NFL.com. So I got to watch tape on all those guys. And your name, obviously, was a name I was well aware of when the college football season started. And then, obviously, you had your injury and you were out for the year. But I'm really interested to turn the tape on from 2018 and watch you this summer. Can you get better in an off season? Can you improve when you are out for an entire year? I know a lot of people will think that you just take a step backward, but what about the mental reps? Is there any way that you actually think you may have improved in some areas despite the fact that you weren't able to play last year?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, at least during the season, obviously I was doing a lot of rehab and I was at the early stages, so I wasn't able to do a lot of physical activity with my lower body and stuff, but the mental reps was a big part of it, being out and, you know, being kind of a coach's view, watching all the practices, being in all the meetings and watching all that and trying to take it all in and really learn the game as well as the coaches do to prepare for my senior year. So when I get out there, I can, you know, play faster than I have before. Just knowing everything that's coming and just being ready to go as soon as, you know, we're allowed to start playing again. And then as well as that, just being able to, you know, strengthen my upper body and strengthen what I could while I was rehabbing my knee. But now I'm to a point where my knee's, you know, good to go. I've gone through all the rehab and, you know, I'm back to running, back to moving around. So it feels good, and I'm glad to be back and moving around again.
Walker Little with us here, Episcopal High School product and now at Stanford, and has been a great player there. And you were before last year, you were one of the top two guys coming into the season, and you had to make a business decision this offseason. Even though you were one of the top two guys, you fell, obviously, because in the first game you hurt your knee and you weren't able to play. So you fall, and what'd they tell you were going to be, second round?
I mean, they didn't really they can't really give you a specific, first, second round, but I just knew that after this season, I had a lot more potential to go a lot higher than I might have would have, with this knee injury. I really wanted to prove myself and have a full season under my belt before I decided to go off to the NFL.
And you're going to graduate. That'll be a positive as
exactly.
Well, right?
Yeah, that's a huge, especially going to school like Stanford. You know, graduating, you work pretty hard there. So to finally get that degree is a big deal as well.
And Lance, you got the kid from Oregon coming back, right?
Yeah, Penae Sewell.
And Walker has a big season. You got to watch him because you didn't watch him because he was out all season and he wasn't going to be in this draft. Mm-hmm. You're going to watch him, but he was projected now, and so if he has a big season this year, he's got a chance to. There were a lot of tackles in this year's draft, a lot of good tackles in this year's draft. Do you have any idea what the tackle situation is going to look like next year, Lance?
No, I have to take a look at it, but this was a big one because some of the underclassmen came out who initially you wouldn't have thought some of those guys might come out, but they Isaiah Wilson did, Austin Jackson did. So we'll have to see how it works out. But tackles are always a premium, and I think obviously you made the right move. I mean, you're in a season where for the first time in a long time in the top 12, four different tackles went in the top 12 or top 13, I guess. And that just doesn't happen anymore. We haven't had that kind of depth at the tackle position. So you are there. You know, it's interesting. One of the coaches who I respect a lot, Mike Blumgren, who was there when you started at Stanford, is now at Rice. And I wondered if you ever kept kept in touch with Coach Blumgren, just because he was – there's always a different kind of click between an O-line coach and an O-lineman, at least if they have a good relationship. I wondered if you had ever stayed in contact with him at all.
Yeah, no, we talk from time to time, especially whenever I get back in home. I've seen him a few times over the course of the past two or three years when I've come back home. But, yeah, we have a great relationship, especially that freshman year when I was able to play. I grew a lot under him, and he taught me a lot while I was just trying to handle college football. So we have a great relationship. I see him every once in a while, and he's a great guy, and I have a lot of respect for him.
We've got Walker Little with a Stanford product. Now, get this. Now, this next draft could be the All-Episcopal High School. Forget LSU with their 14 draft picks. This is going to be Episcopal High School draft. It's going to be Walker Little in the first. It's going to be Marvin Wilson in the first. He's the defensive tackle from Florida State. It's going to be Jalen Waddle in the first, the Alabama slot back. Coach Lease, I mean, how about this at Episcopal High? He probably just rolled the ball out. You guys probably didn't even have to practice at Episcopal.
Roll
right?
the ball out.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely fun with all three of us there. And but the biggest thing, especially with me and Marvin, was it made us so much better. It made us, you know, much more prepared for college football and be able to play well at the next level. And going against a guy like Marvin, who, like you said, is going to be, you know, a first-round pick next year, and going against him when, you know, I was 15, 16, 17 years old, you had nothing to do except get better, or else, you know, he was going to embarrass you every practice, and no one wants that. So it forced me to get a lot better and allowed me to go against one of the great defensive linemen for my class. So. And then Jalen was just a rock star for our team. He just lighted up. He's got speed like I've never seen before, explosiveness, and he's obviously shown it at the next level. And when we were at Episcopal High School, we thought he was just fast for Episcopal, for a small private school in Houston. And then, you know, next year we see him at Alabama just lighting up, and he's faster than all these kids in the SEC. And we realized that, you know, that wasn't just us thinking that. He was fast for Episcopal. He was a fast for America. So it was pretty cool, and I'm so happy for both of them for all the success they've had. And it's pretty cool, though, that, you know, three guys from Episcopal High School potentially, you know, could be going in the first round next year.
It's awesome. You know, and Lance, they got video of Waddle and Ruggs running step for step, which will help Waddle's case. If, you know, you can run with Ruggs, obviously he's going to have to do it at the combine, but they already know how fast this kid is.
Well, yeah, no, it's speed is speed, and Waddle can really go too. You know what's interesting is I know, and I want to ask you this because you fall into this. So Texas, the state of Texas, had 33 players drafted in. I want to say it was 33. I don't know. I think it was high schoolers, and in the draft in the first three rounds. And but a very small percentage, very small, I don't even know if there were any, went to Texas schools who were from Texas, who were drafted inside the first three rounds. I think I got to check on what exactly that is. You're a guy that left the state of Texas. Did the state of Texas recruit you heavily, and what was it that turned you to Stanford?
Yeah, I mean, University of Texas, Texas A&M, TCU, I mean, they all recruited me. And, you know, I grew up at a high school with, I went to a high school with a lot of Texas fans, and especially a lot of, you know, Texas alumni dads. And they all, you know, were hoping that I was going to be able to go to UT. But at the time, there was a lot of turnover from Charlie Strong to Tom Herman. And for me, I had to look at, you know, what was the best decision as a student athlete. And it was hard to pass up Stanford, coming off of Rose Bowl at the time, the Christian McCaffrey days, and rolling in with Coach Bloomgren, who was there. He was a great O-line coach. And then the stability there with Coach Shaw being there, knowing that he's one of the great, you know, college football coaches right now. And I knew that that was kind of just the place for me. And then obviously the academics were a huge draw for a kid who's takes school seriously and is always trying to give my best, you know, in that aspect. There was really no way for me to pass up Stanford. And obviously, I'm still a big fan of Texas. I hope they have success. But there was really no way for me to give up that opportunity. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you can get. And it's hard to say no to a school like Stanford.
Yeah. And I know you had conversations with Park Shaper. Did Andrew Luck ever call you?
Not in the recruiting process, but, you know, once I actually got to Stanford, I saw him a few times when he'd come in the offseason. We talked about being both from Houston, and he was a great role model for me. Just how much he worked in the offseasons really showed you, you know, how to be a great pro.
Absolutely. And this is Walker Little with us here on ESPN 97.5. The kid from Oregon is, what do you know his name, Lance? What's his name?
Yeah, Penei Sewell.
Oh, Penei Sewell. Yeah, I couldn't pronounce it. Penei Sewell is out there, and he's projected. But Walker, they kind of, you got some, maybe a little chip on your shoulder now. I mean, you were projected last offseason as a top one or two left tackle to go into the draft. And now, I guess because of a knee injury, everybody's forgotten about you. Is this something that's motivating you?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, the motivation's there. Anytime you come off a knee injury, there's just enough motivation to get back from it. And honestly, I like it better this way. Less hype around it and allows you to just focus on yourself, which is, you know, what I did all of high school. And it's what I've been trying to do all of college. So you don't need the hype. The hype's not going to get you drafted. Your tape is. So I'm just trying to go into it and, you know, focus on being the best version of myself and giving the best effort I can. You know, each time I go work out, each time I go run, and then eventually whenever we get back to campus and can start practicing again, each practice and each game. So the hype definitely allows you to kind of refocus on what's important. And, you know, it's your work ethic and, you know, what you're putting on film for these scouts and for these NFL teams to look at.
So you've been doing a lot of Skyping, a lot of Zooming with coaches and whatnot. Has that been basically what's been going on?
Yeah, we've been doing Zoom calls about twice a week with the offensive line coach, just going through, you know, prior film, going through the part of spring ball that we were able to finish up. And then, you know, just going through installs and, you know, picking up some new plays here and there and just trying to keep the mind sharp as far as football goes and, you know, staying in touch with the coaches and, you know, letting them know how we're doing and just trying to learn as much as we can while we're not actually on campus.
I've had my two older ones home now, and we wouldn't have been home normally, and you wouldn't have been home normally. Has it been a good time with Mom and Dad?
Yeah, it's been different, but it's been great. Being able to stay home, being able to be with the family more, see some of my siblings who both live in Houston, and it's definitely a lot better, too, with my mom and dad cooking at home instead of me trying to figure out where I'm going to get food for on the weekends and things like that. So it's been nice, but I'm definitely ready for quarantine to be over and, you know, for everything to pass so we can get back to campus and get back to kind of a level of normalcy.
Good stuff. Well, Walker, man, we are going to be watching for you in the draft. You've been somebody that we've been keeping an eye on over at Stanford. Well, it's a long way away, but we've been definitely keeping an eye on. So it must have been so tough last year just sitting and watching for your first time you had to sit an entire season and just watch. That had to be brutal. But we know you'll come back, and you'll come back strong, and we'll be watching for you in the next draft as well. So congratulations on your success, and we're definitely looking forward to seeing you in the NFL.
Thanks so much. I appreciate y'all having me on.
All right. That's Walker Little, Episcopal High School kid right here on ESPN 97.5. What about Coach Lease with just all these players? Goodness gracious.
How did that happen?
Do what?
How did that happen?
I know, right? Like, well, because everybody wants to go to Episcopal High School, though.
Yeah, I imagine.
That's
Episcopal.
Right. Episcopal. It's Episcopal or Kincaid. We're going. That's where we're going.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We got our own personal IMG Academy in Houston. Huh. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Three first-round picks.
Three first-rounders. How's that?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that year. And he had Preston Hurd, a quarterback. I mean, he just rolled it out. I don't think they practiced during the week.
Well, Jimmy and the Joes, John.
That's right.
More important than the X's and O's. And apparently, just an influx of Jimmy and Joes.
Apparently. That's right, Del. He had an influx because they were clamoring to go. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know Episcopal's history. Would they have ever had this type of talent on their roster before?
Episcopal?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had plenty of talent on their roster. Yeah. Plenty of talent. Kincaid, too.
Got a star left tackle.
Yep.
A defensive tackle. And a star receiver.
Yep. Yep.
That's quite the thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Quite the thing. Three first
rounders. Is that still happening? Like, am I going to look 2 years from now and see another influx of first round picks coming out of Episcopal?
There's going to be a few. No, they've got a couple. They've got a couple more coming up, as a matter of fact. Yep, Alabama's looking at them, and yeah, LSU. Yeah, the big schools, not Miami, but because they know they can't get them.
Well,
they can't get Episcopal kids to go to Miami. First of all, they're too smart.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The kid goes to Florida State because of their academics. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Alabama, too, by the way. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
the only one you have, some ground to stand on is the guy we just had on because he went to Stanford. You can't use Alabama and Florida State as your
good
evidence.
816 ESPN 97.5. Thank you. The SPCA. That's right. That's where the kids are all coming from into the NFL out of the SPCA, that conference or SPC. I forget what it's called. All right, taking a break. Don't you go anywhere.
Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 819 ESPN 97.5. Good talking with he's a great family, great young man. Been knowing him for a long time. That was a hell of an Episcopal team. Won the title with Preston Hurd. That was JT senior. JT won his junior year, and they won JT's senior year. That was a hell of a team. Hell of a team. They got three first-rounders on that team. So, great. And he's what a hell of a kid, huh?
Yeah, sharp.
NFL
out.
Teams will love to have him.
Solis texted me. You know, he's a big Longhorn, and he was talking about hard to turn down Stanford, especially if you're a smart kid. Shoot, it's getting hard to turn down Stanford if you're a good football player, too, and especially if you're an offensive lineman because of, you know, Blomgren was there. I can't remember who's there now. And then David Shaw does a great job. I mean, he just does a great job over there. You know, here's the unfortunate thing about Rice. I can't remember who I was having this conversation with. I can't remember who I was talking to the other day, but we were talking about how Rice is, the thing about Rice is I think it's appealing to people on the outside because they see it as, holy crap, you're in Texas, you're in the city of Houston, you got talent all around you, and that's a sleeping giant, and that can be the Stanford of Texas, but it can't be because Rice doesn't. You know, no offense to Rice. They know this. I'm not saying anything that they don't say themselves. football and sports don't mean as much at Rice. Baseball almost operates as a, with Wayne Graham, operated as a separate entity. And there was money that literally funded baseball, like Bobby Tudor's of the world. Tudor had to step up and get a, you know, and get the floor done for the basketball facility. As a university, they just don't care about sports.
No, they don't. No,
they really don't. So they got a great coach here, Mike Bloomgren. Man, that was a great get.
Well, first of all, the conference is a killer for him.
Yeah,
you know, Stanford is in the Pac-12. You'll remember Stanford. Stanford forever was a doormat. Like Vanderbilt in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Just a doormat because they had to have smart kids. You had limited kids that you could recruit. And a lot of times weren't as athletic. They weren't going to come and they weren't going to go to, you know, it was hard to get the smart, really athletic kids. But I'll tell you this. When Stanford came and they watched JT throw when he was a sophomore, and you know, and their coach actually loved him, and actually said, and he, I'm not going to say what he said, but anyway, there was the thought that maybe he could possibly go there at some time, and when that was the possibility, it was Stanford first and everybody else after, because of that education. And that the fact that, how, like you just said, with Shaw and the football and everything else, forget, you know, that was by far and away, if Stanford offered, that was where he was going. There was no question about that. And I can't believe it, that's got to be the case for any kid that's got grades. If it has to be almost impossible to turn Stanford down, because you're set for the rest of your life. When you get that degree and you play football there, you are going to be set for the rest of your life with a Stanford, you know. And there's no other school that can, I don't know, that can come close with the two of them. And Texas is great academically and football-wise and everything else, but Stanford is on another level, I think.
Well, it all depends on the context. Let's face it, man. Life is all about context. Who you meet, I tell people all this all the time. Man, your life is about, you need to go out and have some life experiences, go meet people, just go put your face in front. What do I need to do to get into your job? Well, you need to go meet people. You know how I got into radio? Because I went out and hustled. I'd call John on the phone. I don't suggest anyone call me, but this is back in the day when, like, I called when you were 51, like, hey, just really like your show, you know, your TV show. We went out there and
so
did
you
our fantasy
out
draft.
Your relationship with a lie. That's nice of you.
What do you mean?
No, it was the truth. He loved the show. It was Sports Night Live.
No, it was
really.
It was unlike anything else.
Really?
Dale.
It was a show sweeping the city.
It was
a relationship built on a lie. That's a great message.
It had some good sports in it, and then it had some train wrecky stuff, which I was here for both. It didn't matter to me. Whichever one you want to do is fine with me. Have a wrestler throw somebody onto the ground out of nowhere, whatever. But you know, it was I hustled, and John became aware of me when he had an opportunity. You know, I mean, I got on TV because Kenny Smith, I think, canceled on an appearance. He was supposed to be in like 30 or 40 minutes before he was supposed to be on, and they said, see if Lance would do fantasy football. And that's how I made my first appearance with John, and it was on TV, and it was about fantasy football. And I think Michael Barrow was on the show, actually.
Yeah, see, Lance replaced Kenny Smith. How about that? And, oh, look at Kenny Smith. How's he done? See? So, hey, Dell, suck on that.
What does that mean? What does Kenny Smith's rise up the broadcasting
race
have to do
John
with
takes
you?
No.
He's off my tree, okay?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay. That's my broadcast tree.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're on
Kenny
it, too, Dell. You're on a tree now.
You're on a tree.
I'm technically on a tree. I'm technically on a tree.
Yeah. Okay, so just suck on that, Dell.
Why do you? I've never understood dudes like, hey, you know how I'm going to insult you? Suck on something. It's like, what?
Yeah,
why?
That's right.
Why do you want me to suck on something?
Suck on
you
that.
You weirdo.
That's why. Because, all right. That's how you start, people. No, granted, you know, you got to have. Look at my buddy from Oklahoma State. It doesn't matter where you go to school or what. If you've got the wherewithal, if you've got the gumption, if you've got the drive, you're going to be successful. You've got to do all of that. But give me that Stanford football start, and I'll take it. And I'll take it right now. Stanford, to me, you go armed into the world out of Stanford, and you're going to be pretty well off. 7138.
What is this, a commercial for? Can somebody get Todd? Can you get a bill going to Stanford?
Yeah.
Can you bill Stanford?
Bill him.
You trying to push everybody out of the state, John? What is your deal?
No.
Go to LSU or Stanford. They are drastically different, John. Learning institutions, drastically different.
Well, here's the listen, and I feel for Rice. We went there. We know what Rice is all about. I feel for Rice, but the conference is now, and you mentioned it. I told the story when they won the national championship in 2003. One of their media guys come up to me and he goes, "You know what is the discussion here? Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to win a national championship in baseball?" Oh, I don't know. Because it brings glory and fun to your school. That's something that the students and everybody around here can be proud of and can enjoy. I don't know, but that's not the mission at Rice.
No, I mean, they're good at what they do. They choose not to be super competitive. Although, like I said, they got a really good – they've had some good basketball coaches. They've had some good football – like, they've hired the people doing the hiring. They get it. It's just that – I do think you're right, though. I think the fact that they're not in a major. I remember who I was having it with Timbo Brown, and I said, you know, since they or in Vincent Ford, those two guys, and so they have one of them went to an SEC school, the other one went to Texas, and I said, you know, they got a lot of guys who go shop at their clothing store from Rice and old Rice football players who it kills them. That Rice is such a nothing right now. And I really think the destruction of the Southwest Conference was look, Rice was never a powerhouse, and they were never, they weren't going to just pack out the stands. But it helps when you are playing A&M and Texas and Baylor and all these people. Yeah, a lot of them are road game, you know, road fans are coming in. But it really still helps your program in general sell tickets and be more of a viable school. Once you cut out the Southwest Conference, it made it really hard for your University of Houston, and Houston has done a great job of rallying around themselves and bringing out the inner Houston Cougar fans who have. It really is a great story, because I was there when my dad coached, and even in the Southwest Conference days, the talk was always, man, there should be more U of H fans here. It was in the Astrodome or whatever. But I think Houston's done a great job. Rice, on the other hand, it's been really, really tough outside of Southwest Conference.
Well, here's some advice, Rice, because if you're going to do it right, first of all, they built the baseball stadium, and then they fixed Tudor, and they haven't done anything for football. Football is what drives everything. By the way, I don't know if you know where we are. We're in Texas. But if the football program can make some money, then you can give all of that money, and all the other sports will benefit from that. That monstrosity of a stadium that they play in with zero amenities and zero allure to fans is a disgrace. With all of the money that they have and how hard all of those kids work year in and year out, and they still have that and zero ability to draw any fans because when you go to look at the Katy High School. Look at any high school stadium. It's a better place to play than Rice Stadium. So fix that first,
yeah,
and you might be able to get some amenities for the players,
Ooh.
And you can draw some kids that are smart that want to play football there.
But the chicken and egg there is, do you really want to spend that much money if you think that your football is not going to matter or pay you back?
No, well, Lance, but you can't get anybody to go there when they come there and they look at that.
That's what I'm saying. It's chicken and egg.
When they sit on the sideline and there's 4,000 people there, and it's just a horrible, horrible atmosphere. And they built the weight room, and that's all fine. And they did a nice job with the weight room and some locker rooms for the kids, and that's fine. But anywhere else they go, I mean, at Southwest Texas. At everywhere they have better everything.
Well, but it's
everywhere
a college
has better everything.
But it's a college, so it's still in many ways going to be a commuter college, which is strike one for the
experience. No, it's only 3,000 students. It's not commuter. It's what, Rice is commuter? No, Rice is
there's only 3,000 students.
Yeah, there's 3,000 undergrads.
Smaller than high schools in
Houston.
It's
smaller than Miami. Miami's what, 5 though?
Oh, then you can't spend. Then you know what? Then why are they going to spend all that money on football?
Because they have a bajillion dollars.
They have it, but who's going to go?
What do you mean, who's going to go?
Well, there's been a whole generation of fans lost. And, you know, guys like Mike Padé were doing a great job of doing everything they could to hustle and get, like, Little League football teams should be given free tickets for life. Do you know when I watch tape of players in conferences, right? So I get the sideline shot and I get the end zone shot. And eventually, sometimes I decide to skip past Rice because I just think I'm not going to get a competitive look. But they were more competitive this year. And so when I watch teams play Rice or a player play against Rice and I'm watching in Rice Stadium and I can see into the stands, and it's not only Rice, a lot of different schools this happens. But, I mean, it is so sad for me to look and see. Oh. And, John, I'm telling you, if they had 800 people, 700 people in the stands, I would have been shocked.
No, I know. No, Lance, I lived it. So build a smaller stadium that and with amenities for fans, because, hey, there was a time, it was the 50s, but there was a time when 70,000 people would fill Rice Stadium to watch Rice football. They were playing LSU and A&M and all those other people at that time, and it was, you know, it was all white people on the field at the time, but that they used to.
And they talk like this on the radio. Rice University, where you can find your home and your opportunity to get a better life at Rice. Come to Rice University and see our urinal troughs. They stretch for miles and miles, grown men whizzing next to each other, just standing there trying not to meet gaze. Rice.
That happened. But that was every stadium. I don't know. You don't remember, but every stadium had urinal troughs. Except Rice still has theirs.
That's the problem.
They still have that.
That's the problem.
Walker has shot to number one in the JG Power Rankings of Love.
That.
Number one, Walker Little. Number two, Joe Burrow. Number three, Brandon Weeden. Number four, Devin Booker. And number five, Stephon Gilmore.
I feel like you would flip. I think Gilmore's ahead of Walker. Ahead of Devin.
Well, where's Dana? Dana's not on there.
Ooh, yeah, Dana's in there.
I mean, Dana's like, what the bleep?
I would say Brandon Weeden actually might be fifth. No, Devin Booker would be sixth. Dana would be in the top three, I would think, ahead of Brandon Weeden. Dell's rankings go like this. Evanescence, one.
Right.
Let's see. Whatever podcast he is listening to today,
you know what hasn't really
changed?
What hasn't changed?
Al Golden is two.
I'm six.
You know what really hasn't changed?
What?
Your ability to develop different jokes. You've been dropping this Evanescence thing
the
for
same one.
Yeah,
I use them, right. But I also use. Who's the other one I use?
Al Golden is one. Granny is two. Evanescence is three.
Wake
me up tonight.
You mentioned them more than me. Maybe they hit a place in your heart that you're not acknowledging because
you won't say her name.
Ooh.
Her name's coming to me.
You gonna say Avril Lavigne?
Yeah, that's right, Avril Lavigne.
You know why I know you're gonna say
why?
That?
Why?
Because you always say it.
That's right. I'll come up with a different one then.
By the way, Avril Lavigne.
There's not a bunch.
When
of
are you
them.
Gonna come up with a different one?
Yeah, you've been talking about this for years.
Adele.
And by the way,
Adele likes a new skinny Adele.
You can't. A lot of people do. You can't come at me skinny about Avril Lavigne because she's my age. It's not. So you mean I might have liked an attractive pop star who was my age at the time? Oh, sorry about that.
That's groundbreaking stuff. Yeah, Dell likes skinny. I mean, Dell likes skinny Adele.
All I know is
you're not supposed
Adele,
to like her.
Adele.
Oh, she wasn't
Adele
beautiful
Olele.
Before Dell. She wasn't
Adele
beautiful on the inside before. Now Twitter's getting really in their feelings. Like
you don't know. They don't know how to feel
because people are coming out and saying, "Oh, you look great." Excuse me. Excuse me.
Well,
she looked great before.
Well, did she? 8:35 ESPN.
Yeah, she was pretty. What are you talking about? Did she? Question mark.
I just asked a question. That's all. I said, did she?
He asked a question.
Yeah.
And you
that
said,
yeah, John, she was beautiful before,
okay,
John.
Yes, then.
You want her to make a song about you?
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be a chart topper.
Why'd she get skinny?
It will be a chart topper.
Listen, this is on her. Okay.
Somebody on Twitter says, we don't know what her medical situation is. She could have lost weight because she had a medical situation.
How about this?
Yeah, the medical situation.
She's fat shaming herself.
The medical situation was, the medical situation was she put down the fork.
Hold on.
That's all. That's all.
Hold on.
That's all.
The medical situation was she put she down had, the fork?
The doctor.
Salads use forks.
The, the doctor detached the fork from her hand.
You know what? Actually, I would say if you're using
Edward's
a fork.
Fork hand?
I go the other way. If you're using a fork, you're more likely to be healthier.
You're probably right,
than if you're just going hand.
The like the more fattening food is things you're eating with your hand.
Do you eat french fries with forks?
No. You got a point.
All right.
Burgers with forks? Pizzas? You can, but
you're one of those people. Yeah.
You're a super scrub if you're eating pizza. Now, if you're in one of those, John, that's acceptable to eat like one of those giant pizzas that, like your people's pizzas, the Chicagoans, with the gigantic like cheesecake pizza with all that tomato sauce in there.
Okay,
you eat that with a fork, right? And knife, the Chicago style? It's called Chicago style.
Yeah. Guess what? That's what Chicago don't do. Eat that. That's for you tourists. All right.
All right.
Take a break, Lance.
Let me talk about
insurance.
So TGS Insurance, when you go to the website, you can go to the website if you like, or you can text them. You can text money to 232323. That's probably going to be easiest for a lot of you right now because you get instant feedback from them on what your price is going to be. And with TGS Insurance, they aggregate a variety of homeowner insurance companies that are A-rated. And then from there, you're going to get your lowest rate. And they'll send it to you within 15 seconds when you text money to 232323. But you shouldn't have to just throw away additional money for great coverage. Whatever your coverage is right now, they're going to match that coverage. And in most cases, they're going to save you money. The average savings, and I said average, is $870 or higher. That means that for some people, it's going to be $250, and for some people, it's going to be $1,900, $2,100. It really depends on your situation, but a lot of people are saving money. And in this particular time, when it's tougher economic times, you need to find places that you can cut. Well, why don't you keep your great service and your coverage, but cut your price and put that money back in your pocket or to wherever it needs to go? And if you're worried because you got a bundle between home and car, they can shop for car for you as well. And chances are they're going to find you a lower rate on that as well. TGSinsurance.com, TGSinsurance.com. Text money to 232323.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Disregard that last segment with Dell's fat shaming.
I didn't fat shame anyone. I didn't criticize Adele for anything other than the joke, the thing about her medical condition. Adele didn't come out and say she had a medical condition, did she?
No.
No, so that's...
She likes the way she looks. She feels better that way. So now people are deciding to shame complimenters. This is why Twitter's such a bunch of stupid.
So that's why I made the joke. What I said was as dumb as what they're saying. Until Adele comes out and goes, the reason I was this size is because I had a medical condition that I... Then shut up about it. She decided she wanted to lose weight.
Yeah,
and that's her decision.
Her body, her... plan or whatever. Let her do that.
No, she was fat shaming herself. That's what she was doing. And that's why Twitter's unhappy with her.
Because she lost weight because she determined that what she looked like before wasn't the way she wanted to look like anymore. So she shamed herself.
She shamed herself.
I see the logic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She.
That's on her.
She looks.
This everyone
she
should
looks
be.
Good.
Everyone She's, should be ripping her for losing weight.
Hey,
what's this about?
You were one of those people we looked to for body positivity, and now this.
No, it's gone. This is why we came up for
Lizzo.
Lizzo, yeah.
Lizzo.
This is why you'll never be Lizzo. Like I've got like multiple Grammys and number one. Lizzo did one song that's like her song right now is like number 47 on the charts. Because Lizzo is a proud big woman, and you are not.
You know, hello wouldn't hit differently if she's skinny.
Yeah. No. Hey, is this – now, let me ask you this question. Would Chris Farley have been as funny skinny?
No.
John Belushi, as funny skinny.
No chance. No chance.
The physical comedy just hits harder. That's a proven fact. That's right. A proven fact.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
I'm not a Drew Carey fan, but I suppose that Drew Carey was much funnier when he was bigger Drew Carey and not Price's. Now he's a game show host. So, you tell me.
The big girl from JoJo White, she was one of the Nazis.
JoJo Rabbit.
Yeah, JoJo Rabbit. She was in a movie that they just redid Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
What?
Yeah.
It's not going to be better, so it doesn't matter.
No, it wasn't. The whole movie was just, but she was funny.
Oh, was it two females?
Yes. Yes.
I bet it was great.
Hey.
No,
hey.
I'm being serious. I bet it was really funny.
I can see you, I see what face you made.
What? Why are you in there trying to motty me out, snitcheroo?
Hey.
No, it's probably really good. It's probably really excellent.
Like, let's be honest.
Like, the Ghostbusters thing was a big hit.
When this song came on, there's another one coming out, too, but more about with the kids.
It was Anne Hathaway and her and the big girl. Yeah.
The big girl.
Oh, was it Rita Wilson?
Rita Wilson?
Not Rita Wilson. Who's the other one who's Australian?
Yes, that's her.
Kate McKinnon.
No.
She's Australian,
yeah, she was
too,
on Saturday Night Live.
No, Kate McKinnon's not Australian.
She isn't?
Oh, A.D. Bryant?
No.
A.D. Bryant
is the big girl who's on Saturday Night Live who is hilarious.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I mean.
Yeah, you're right.
And she was in JoJo Rabbit.
I know who you're talking about. I got to find the name. McKinnon's from New York. You're right. I know who you're referring to.
You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. She's Rebel Wilson, is her name.
Yeah, Rebel Wilson.
Was it that's Rebel her. Wilson?
She was hilarious in this. And it was, everything was ripped off from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Redone, probably. What do you mean ripped off? It's actually redoing the movie.
Just right. But no. They called it something different and they, yeah.
Oh, they just tried to, well, then that's a ripoff.
Let's be honest. You know, when this song hits, and if she was skinny, it would hit different for people.
Mm-hmm. This is what they do.
Skinny bitch.
What'd you do this time, skinny bitch?
Yeah.
You probably deserved it. If you gave your man a girl that he could,
just saying.
He could feel it, that would be, yeah.
Let Adele do what she wants. If she wants to be skinnier and healthier, let her do it. It's not a big deal. Why do you care so much, people? Hello. Can you hear me? Y'all know. Y'all out there know.
Dang, man, I forgot Glenn Headley died from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. She was really good in that. That movie holds up today, man. That movie is a great movie.
Yep. Anyway, all right, let's catch up on breaks. Let's just catch. That was our salute to Adele.
Well, you came.
Skinny Adele.
You came
what did
here,
you call her? A skinny bitch?
That's what people are calling
that's
him in Adele's mind.
Her. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, like.
I don't want to hear from you, you skinny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you got problems.
Whatever. Mm. You sing, you're famous, and you skinny. Let me hear about your problems. Yeah.
You
all right. So, I want to talk right now about hoops. I want to talk about, we'll talk some hoops on the other side, as a matter of fact. And I want to talk about your goal in your front yard, and if it's a disgrace, if it's an abomination. Because if it's not a hoops goal, it probably is. It's not going to have the staying power. We actually had our hoops goal in our front, and Keith Tay came and moved it because our driveway was so far was slanted, and he couldn't enjoy. So a neighbor's house, he actually picked it up and put the goal at the neighbor's house, and that goal is still there and looking like it's brand new today. And his little ones are playing on it, and they're playing on it all the time, and they raise and lower the goal, and they're little kids, so they're really, really enjoying it, and that's what you need for the little kids. If you're looking for that goal that everybody in the family can enjoy, as opposed to the one that's stapled to. And, oh, by the way, what about the curb appeal to your house? This one is the perfect goal. And it looks, I'm telling you, it will never, ever, it will never age. It's unbelievable. So if you're looking for that goal, it's ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, I said we were going to talk about basketball, but I want to switch it up. I want to talk a little football. What in the hell are they going to do when the salary cap goes down $30 million in 2021? Goes down to $80 million, and Deshaun is going to want 40 of it.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Something is that the number that's being
Alan,
kicked out?
Adam Schefter says this. The salary cap in 2021 could potentially take a massive hit due to COVID-19. The various estimates I've gotten from executives to owners is that the cap could be down anywhere $30 million to $80 million in 2021.
You have to strike. You have to strike until people give you all of your money.
Well, then you don't get any of your money.
Well, I'm sorry, John. You signed up for your bag, and that's what you get. In real life, what happens is you sign your deal for your $40 million or whatever right now, and then you get that prorated amount until your cap comes back. At least you have your number, and whoever, whenever you have a salary number, it's going to have to – I don't know. Actually, I don't know how that's going to work. Do you drop the numbers you already have? Like, you're going to have to, or there's just going to be massive cap casualties. You can do one of two things. And they're going to have to put something, an emergency clause that takes into account a reduction in salary so that you can keep your same, the concept of your salary. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't have guys getting cut and you have to redo deals at lower numbers for longer years. You just, that doesn't make sense. It's not fair to the players.
Here's what you're proposing is a 37.5% cut of everyone's salaries, because that's what goes from 110 to 80, that's a 37%.
Well, it's that or $24 billion worth of another $12 billion worth of loss across all industries having to do with sports. Because that's what they're saying, no college and pro football will cost $12 billion. It'll be universities that will have to shutter some sports programs. It will be widespread losses of jobs across National Football League. It's you either take your pay cut and still make great money, or you don't get any money and it shuts down a giant section of the economy.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right. There's just no way that the owners can. Well, actually, it's 30%. It's 27%. 30 of 110 million. So that everybody is going to say, yeah, good luck with that, because it's not in my contract right now. That COVID-19 or salary cap reduction or any of that has anything to do with my salary right now.
Well, then take you're gonna have to get under the cap.
Yeah, well then everybody's gonna have to cut their quarterback. Russell Wilson would be almost half of his team's salary cap at $35 million.
Clearly this has to be fixed. Like, this can't just be us just talking about stuff. There has to be a real-world solution to this that is going to involve people making less money. I'm sorry that you guys are going to be hit like the rest of us. You know, my apologies, football players, that you'll have to make less money. Yeah, they are. They're going to have to be. What do you mean they're not going to? Then every team will be over the cap. You can't reduce the cap and think everyone can be under. If that's the cap, then you're going to have to make massive real dollar cuts and say, then you're not playing football for us anymore. We can't afford you.
Wow.
But, John, that's real. That's really what it is.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. How about that the average NFL salary with 80 million, 53 players, is $1.5 million per player? How about that?
Say it again.
$80 million with 53 players, the average salary is $1.5 million.
Okay.
Wow. That is, I mean, down from, you know, look at, one guy's making $35 million. 35. There is, I mean, this is catastrophic. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how players, owners, now this is, and we've talked about this, that there's got to be some comeback to the norm. When every franchise is now worth billions, I mean, even the worst of franchises, even the lowliest of franchises is $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
The lowliest franchise in professional sports in this country, in the major sports. And Tillman paid $2 point. What a time to have bought the Houston Rockets when they shut it down and you paid $2.2 billion for them.
Here's a serious question. So this was thrown at me. This is thrown at me by people who believe, people in the business sector. They believe Tillman could be in some trouble with the Rockets. Leveraged to purchase the Rockets. He was uber leveraged to do that. And they're like, what happens when the banks come asking for their money for the Rockets? Are they going to take the Rockets? I'm like, I can't imagine how it works.
No, it's the exact opposite.
Okay.
He's leveraged all of his restaurants
for the Rockets. For the
because
Rockets.
Because you have to, yes, because you have to pay 80% of when you buy a professional franchise. You have to come up with that. So he's leveraged the restaurants, not
Ooh,
the Rockets.
Wee.
So, and here's the thing: as I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, it's funny. We were talking about, you know, Adam Silver. He goes, yeah, he's a player's guy, but and a lot of these guys, a lot of the owners are, you know, not they don't own it like he does. He said there's only like three or four guys in the league that actually own the team. A lot of the guys are minority owners, or they own a small percentage of the team. There's only a few guys in the league that own 100% of the team. Like
yeah, so by the way, Aaron says if it drops $80 million, that would make the salary cap $118.2 million. Current cap is $198 million. I think Schefter said it could drop between $30 and $80 million, not to a total of $80 million, is what Aaron says.
It's still.
I mean, it doesn't change anything. It's still. Everything's still the same.
Oh, I see the point. I see. Oh, I'm sorry. I misread that. Schefter. It could drop 30 to 80 million.
Well, it doesn't, but...
$80 million. It could drop 30 to 80 million, which could be 50 million less. Right.
But it doesn't matter. The same...
But if it's 198 and it drops 50, that's 25%.
Yeah, it's the same thing we're talking about. It's the same. The numbers, that is different, but the concept is the same. You're going to have to recover that money somewhere, at least for 2021, and it's going to be out of player salaries because money's not coming in. They're part of the income. Look, they're part of this. They're part of this at 48.5%. I think it's 48.5% with the new CBA. Their percentage of the number, the pie is smaller now. This shouldn't even be an argument. There should be no arguments. It is what it is. We all are suffering. We're going to be in a recession, potentially depression. There really shouldn't even be a thought about, like, if anyone was so stupid to think that it wouldn't also hit the entertainment sector, including sports, musicians, movie, everyone's going to get hit. Everybody.
Yeah, I misread that. So $198 million. If it drops 30 to 80, let's say, it drops 50, 25%. Everybody's going to have to take a 25% cut. Now, you know what? If you want to know the truth, that's what's happening in the real world. In this family, we've both taken cuts, my wife and I, and that's what everybody is doing, and still people are getting furloughed, and you know what? It's still going to happen in the NFL as well. There's going to be a lot of the jobs that they had before. Lance, you thought that they tightened up before, how much they were tightening up in the NFL, and you saw it. You saw it at the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Well, guess what's going to happen now? Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be it's everywhere. But NFL players are going to be like, I got my guaranteed contract here, bro. No, not really. Not really.
They took us last year for some people, and they said, okay, if your contract's up, you ready for your new contract? Here's what we're doing. We're going to reduce you by 30%, sign you to a three-year deal, and then over the years you will build up to maybe, you know, a certain percent less than you were making on your last contract. And everyone's like, what? Well, that's a deal. And they took that money and they used it for the 100-year advertising, you know, 100 years of NFL. And they eliminated a lot of shows, TV shows, a lot of personnel. They made big cuts. And they cut $20 million, I think, the NFL did. So now my guess is that $20 million will stay cut. Like, they're not going to – it's not going to be like, okay, well, we're going to add this $20 million back to the budget. Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore. And, of course, me personally, I'm hoping they don't, you know, they don't make any deeper cuts.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if television, entire television networks, you know, all these cable networks that are all the bajillion now networks we have on cable and satellite.
It's gonna hit a lot of things.
Without advertisers now? Yeah. I mean, it is. All right, 858 ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us on the other side. He's going to join us on the other side. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.